We're here today, and it's wonderful. The door is open, there's a little breeze coming in. It's absolutely fabulous. And while we're sitting here, the world in which we live is falling to pieces around us. It doesn't matter where you look in the news, you will see just drama, whether it's the weather, whether it's politics, whatever. So what I'd like to do today is just take one little thing that's been on the news, because it's a sort of thing I've been waiting to see for a long time, and it's happened. And it was in the Daily Telegraph on the 21st of this month. And the headline reads, "Stop moaning or leave the EU, Britain is told." That's one of those things that, as I say, we've been looking for. The split is coming. An influential German politician has fired a warning shot at British moves to hold a referendum on the European Constitution. Elmar Brok, a centre-right MEP and close ally of German Chancellor Angela Merkel, effectively told Britain to sign up to the so-called reforming treaty or consider pulling out of the EU. The Plain Truth, dated April 1965. Quote, Mr. Armstrong, "In spite of Mr. Churchill's far-sightedness, he could not foresee that this great politico-religio-economic power block of 10 nations not only would refuse Britain membership," the 10 nations, not the 20-odd that we've got today, "would refuse Britain membership in the final United States of Europe, the 10, but would ultimately prove the undoing of the Anglo-Saxon people of America, Britain, and the Commonwealth countries." I've got a couple of scriptures I'm just going to give you, because I'm rationed to three and I want them all at the end. So I'm going to quote these ones. Isaiah 10 verse 5. We all know this scripture. And I'll guarantee that most of us have misread it over the years. It says, "O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff of their hands is mine indignation. I will send him against a hypocritical nation." And I'd always read that, "O Assyria." And it doesn't say "O Assyria." It says "O Assyrian." It's referring to one man. And it's the same one man that's mentioned in Isaiah. And Ephraim goes to the Assyrian. Very interesting. That God says they are the rod of his anger. That's how Mr. Armstrong knows where the problem is coming from. The real problem is actually coming from within in this country. Just as in the church, we were all expecting to face persecution from maybe the Roman Catholic Church or whatever. And what happened? We imploded right from within. That's the way Satan works. And that's what's happening in our country. There was an article in a paper I don't normally use called The News of the World on the 16th of the 8th. But it caught my eye because it's the title is EU Liars. David Cameron also had an article in the News of the World criticising Gordon Brown, our now Prime Minister, for going back on Labour's manifesto to hold a referendum on the EU treaty. Cameron argued that Gordon Brown claims we don't need one now because the new document is called a treaty rather than a constitution. Right. Let that one sink in. A treaty rather than a constitution. In the article, Cameron quotes Brown before coming Prime Minister saying, "The manifesto is what we put to the public. We've got to honour that manifesto. This is an issue of trust for me and the electorate." But suddenly, he's now going back on this and saying, well, no, it's not really a constitution. The constitution is dead. What we have now is just like a little bit of an upgrading here and there. But you check on the news in our website a few weeks back and you'll see record after record after record from leaders in Europe, from virtually every country, from Ireland to Germany to Spain to Portugal, and they all turn around and say the same thing. The Constitution is still the Constitution. They haven't got rid of the national anthem. It's been shelved. Does that sound familiar? It's been shelved. They haven't got rid of this, it's been shelved. How many things have been shelved? Have you heard? There were 250 points in the original constitution. So if Mr. Bowles gets up and he's got 10, we're getting off lightly. 250 points. Do you want to know how many there are in the treaty? Have a guess. 240. and they're all exactly the same as they were originally. So you take 10 out, which is what, 3-4% of the whole treaty, and it's being presented to us now as the people don't need to vote anymore because this is a treaty. Marvellous. In the Mail and in the Telegraph on the 17th of this month, there was an article, "Government accused of misleading the public over Britain's UN seat." Now, as you may know, there are only a very limited number of countries on the Security Council at the United Nations. I think it's 8 or 10. Basically the major countries, America and Russia and so on, France, Britain. And there's a Dr. Lee Rotherham. He has accused the government of making misleading claims on the impact of the EU constitution. See, he's not calling it a treaty, he's calling a spade. Claims on the impact of the EU constitution will have on Britain's position on the UN Security Council. He said it becomes increasingly clear that everything that was said about the new constitution has turned out to be a lie. Shock, horror, surprise. Politicians telling lies. The new treaty makes clear that Britain will have to give up its seat on the Security Council on issues where the EU has taken a common position. This is an extraordinary surrender of national sovereignty. If you want to make a little note of a scripture there, just put it down, Isaiah 9:16. We all know it. It says, "For the leaders of this people," and if you check the context, this people is Israel, verse 12, it gives you that. "The leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed." So what's going to happen to this country? It's going to be destroyed. It's not if, it's when. Plain Truth, October 1964. I remember this because I'd just literally gone to college in the September. Mr. Armstrong said, "Germany, a united Germany, with her former territories restored." Hang on a second. This is October 1964. The Berlin Wall came down in 1989. 20 odd years later. Here's Mr. Armstrong saying, "Germany," and in the way he writes, caps, "a united Germany, with her former territories restored, is ready to emerge as the strongest nation on earth at the head of a revitalized Europe. This power colossus is then going to deal a death blow to the United States and Britain." That was written in 1964, just over 40 years ago. The insight that this man had, I'm going to see why in a minute. The Plain Truth, December 1963. That was the month after I first started attending church. He says here, "It was the aftermath of the disastrous stock market crashes of 1924 and 1929 that fanned the flames of violence in Germany to pave the way for Hitler." If you remember, or you've read perhaps, Granny will remember, that in 1929 the stock markets crashed. People lost their jobs, people lost all their money. They lost everything. People in America were jumping off of buildings, committing suicide. It took years. In fact, it really took the Second World War to drag the nations back onto their feet, because capitalism needs wars to survive. Hitler went into power and inflation was frantic. People were getting paid on the Friday and rushing out and buying all the food they could for the next week, because on Monday they wouldn't have enough money to afford to buy any. In fact, the joke was you could buy a bottle of wine on Friday, drink it over the weekend, and you got more money back on the bottle on the Monday than you paid for the wine on the Friday. And Hitler, as a nice gentleman that he was, he just turned around and said, "Right, as and from next Saturday or Sunday, we're going to have a new Deutschmark. And this is what it's worth." And he laid it down. And that meant that the German people, the wealthy German people, lost virtually everything. But what happened? He dragged Germany out of it. And anybody who stood in his way got clobbered. That's when the camps like Auschwitz and Belsen and all the rest of it, that's when they really started. If you didn't go along with it, you disappeared. You were taken out of the system. Does that sound like familiar as to what the Bible says about the end time? Mr. Armstrong goes on, your Bible predicts a great trade war between the economic power in Europe and the United States. And of course, we now know that's probably going to involve China as well. It predicts terrible financial collapse of this country. Talking about America. This is 1963, 44 years ago. That's what he says. Make no mistake, Germany and all Europe will not escape unscathed in a hot trade war between the common market and the United States. When you get a trade war, nobody wins. Everybody is a loser. And then he says, terrible economic disasters would result. And in the result from such disasters, a new Nazi Germany. And it's all there now. It's all there in the sidelines, just waiting to happen. So on what authority did Mr. Armstrong write? Well, if you look at the last paragraph in US and GB in Prophecy, and I would suggest everybody tries to read this, take it to the feast and read it. Because that gives us, there's so much in that booklet that seems to have been snuck in since I read it. But he said at the end, this last paragraph, he says, by God's direction and authority, I have laid the truth before you. To neglect it will be tragic beyond imagination. To heed it will bring blessings, happiness, and glory beyond description. The decision is now yours. That's what it says. And I read that, and you know, you read over these things in the years gone by, yeah, fine. But he's dead all these years. And there's the words there. By God's direction and authority, I have laid the truth before you. Now there's a challenge to all the people out there who don't believe in what Mr. Armstrong did. That's what he said. And what he said 40 years ago is happening before your eyes right now. Staggering. So maybe some of the other things that he said are going to happen will be happening as well. We'll be watching very, very closely. It's not if, it's just when. So we have a little bit of a turnaround here. Now we're going to just have the three scriptures. If you turn to John 14, verse 27, it is very difficult because we're looking at a time when billions of people are going to die. Probably 5, could be even approaching 6 billion people. It says of the end time, there are few men left. John 14, verse 27. What did Christ say to us? These are some of the last words that he wanted us to get. He said, peace I leave with you. Hello? We're going to literally wipe out humanity from the face of the earth, all but, you know, a few millions. We're going to totally trash the earth, plow it over, remodel it. We know the tongue of the Nile and so on. That Nile Delta is going to totally be solid, dry land. And it'll probably apply. He says the islands fled. It could be, and others have speculated, that in actual fact the continents will all be slammed back together to be one big landmass. Which of course would affect the weather, the climate and everything. Could be, we don't know. But it's going to be a horrendous time. The last 3.5 years are a time of trouble, the likes of which the world has never experienced and will never experience again. Now, if you want to look back at some of the wars and the disasters and so on that we've had, they've been pretty bad. But the end time's going to be far worse. Because the last bit, God comes in and he literally trashes the planet. And yet, Christ said, peace I leave with you. That, you know, it's a personal message to his people. The people who are keeping his Sabbath. The people it talks about when it says, if you keep the Sabbath and the Sabbaths, that's a sign you are my people. How many people keep the Sabbath and the annual Sabbath today? I don't know of any other church that keeps the holidays with any form of understanding that haven't come out of somewhere that's been taught by Mr. Armstrong. He says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm just going to trash the planet. I'm going to get rid of most human life. I'm going to plow it all up. I'm going to redesign it. And then we're going to grab the exiles and we're going to take them back to Israel and we're going to start a new world. Nothing too serious. And he says here, my peace I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because he says, I've given you my plan. My servant gave you my plan. You know who's going where and when it's going to happen. These 5 billion odd whatever people that are going to die are all going to be resurrected in their time. Remember the thief on the cross? What did Christ say to him? Verily, verily, I say unto you today, comma, you will be with me in paradise. Because when people are resurrected, the world is going to look like paradise. You know, I said to my son the other day, we looked out here and it was truly beautiful. They've just cut the silage. There's that lovely sweet smell in the air. It's absolutely gorgeous. I said, you know, this is nothing. This will be, we'd look at this place in the future and say, we need to do something here. Because the whole world is going to look like the Garden of Eden. That's why it takes 1,000 years. That's why Christ says, my peace I give you. Because he's told us what's going to happen. We're seeing things happening now. So we can have the faith and the confidence that he is going to fulfill everything that he said. And we are a part of it. If we stick to it. Luke 21. The second scripture. We were just looking out here the other day and we noticed that the trees on the hill over there are just starting to get a tinge. You see a little bit of a yellowy, goldy sort of tinge coming in there, signs of autumn. And he spoke to them a parable, this is Christ saying, behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. Unless you live in England. Because the weather's been so topsy-turvy in this year that 2 months ago somebody got daffodils coming up that should have come up next year because we've had such a wild sort of weather. Oh, sorry. Luke 21:29. It says, when you know that the summer is now at hand, so likewise you, not the rest of the world, you, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. That's where we are now. Drop down to verse 36. Watch you therefore and pray always, something else to add to that ever-growing prayer list, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. 2 points there. Accounted worthy and shall come to pass. You see, we have God's plan. We know what's going to happen. We don't have all the fine detail. But Mr. Armstrong gave us God's plan and he said, I've given it to you by God's authority. What he was saying is God has spoken through me as his servant. Now turn to Revelation 19. The third scripture, because they all go together. I found this very encouraging. Revelation 19 verse 7. Let us again be glad and rejoice. In among all the horror that's going to happen, be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife has made herself ready. The wife, the church, has got something to do. How? How do we make ourselves ready? Well, Mr. Armstrong kept on banging the lectern and saying, you're not getting it. And what was he going on about? He was saying, we get ourselves ready by learning now to become teachers in the world tomorrow. Kings and priests, rulers and teachers. And what are we going to teach? We're going to teach God's law. Because God's law is what God is. It's the way he handles everything. It's the way he thinks. When we start living according to God's law, we effectively start thinking like he does. And that's a miracle. So therefore, is it just a coincidence that Mr. Bowles is now going through the Ten Commandments? That's what we've got to have imprinted in our brain. And when has he been giving the series? right before the Feast of Tabernacles, which pictures the millennium. And as teachers and rulers, we're going to be there. And what we're going to be doing? We're going to be showing people what's happened over 6,000 years and then showing them what can happen if they just get in line. Where everything's got to have love involved. Right from the very soil to the plants, to the animals, to the buildings, to the way we handle the environment. It's got to be done and done God's way according to His law. And that's all based on give, as was said last week. So as we go into the afternoon sermon, which will undoubtedly be on the one of the Ten Commandments, let's just realize that it truly is meat in due season.